You Forever by Tuesday Love Sang Grandpa, read to you by Blue Friend. Lesson 4. As we saw in the preceding lesson, the body is surrounded by the etheric, which encompasses every part of that body. But extending outside the etheric is the aura. This is in some ways similar to the etheric in that it is of magnetic, electric origin, but there the similarity ends. One can state that the aura shows the colors of the over-self. It shows whether a person is spiritual or carnal. It shows also if a person is in good health or poor health, or is actually diseased. Everything is reflected in the aura. It is the indicator of the over-self, or, if you prefer, of the soul. The over-self and the soul, of course, are the same thing. In this aura, we can see sickness and health, dejection and success, love and hatred. It is perhaps fortunate that not so many people can see the auras at the present time, for nowadays it seems to be the common thing to take advantage of one, to seek the upper hand, and the aura betrays every thought, as it should do, reflecting as it does the colors and the vibrations of the over-self. It is a fact that when a person is desperately ill, the aura begins to fade, and in certain cases the aura actually fades out before a person dies. If a person has had a long illness, then the aura does actually fade out before death, leaving only the etheric. On the other hand, a person who is killed accidentally while in good health possesses the aura up to and for some moments after clinical death. It might be well here to interpose certain remarks about death, because death is not like switching off a current or emptying a bucket. Death is a rather long, drawn-out affair. No matter how a person dies, no matter if a person is beheaded even, death does not take place for some moments after. The brain, as we have seen, is a storage cell generating electric current. The blood supplies the chemicals, the moisture and the metallic ores, and inevitably those ingredients become stored in the tissue of the brain. Thus, the brain can continue to function for from 3 to 5 minutes after clinical death. It is said by some people that this or that form of execution is instantaneous, but that, of course, is ridiculous. As we have stated, even if the head be completely severed from the body, the brain can still function for from 3 to 5 minutes. There is a case which was actually witnessed and carefully chronicled in the days of the French Revolution. A so-called traitor had been beheaded, and the executioner reached down and lifted up the head by the hair, saying, as he did so, "This is the head of a traitor." People in the audience — executions in those days were public and also a public holiday — people in the audience were alarmed when the lips formed the soundless words, "That is a lie." That can actually be seen in the records of the French government. Any doctor or surgeon will tell you that if the blood supply be interrupted, the brain becomes impaired after 3 minutes. That is why, if a heart stops, there are such frantic efforts to start the flow of the blood again. We have digressed here to show that death is not instantaneous, nor is the fading of the aura. It is medical fact, by the way, known to coroners and pathologists, that the body dies at various rates. The brain dies, and then organs die, one by one. About the last to die are the hair and nails. As the body does not die instantly, traces of the aura may linger on. Thus it is that a person who is clairvoyant can see in the aura of a dead person why that person expired. The etheric is of a different nature from the aura, and the etheric may continue for some time as a detached phantom, especially if a person has died violently, suddenly. A person in good health who meets a violent end has his batteries fully charged, and so the etheric is at a full strength. With the death of the body, the etheric becomes detached and floats away. By magnetic attraction, it will undoubtedly visit its former haunts, and if a clairvoyant person is about, or a person who is highly excited, for instance, has his vibrations increased, then that person will be able to see the etheric and will exclaim, "Oh, the ghost of so-and-so." The aura is of a much finer material than the comparatively crude etheric. The aura, in fact, is as much finer to the etheric as the etheric is to the physical body. The etheric flows over the body like a complete covering, following the contours of the body, but the aura extends to form an egg-shaped shell around the body. It might be, for instance, 7 feet or more in height and about 4 feet in width at its broadest part. It tapers down so that the narrow end of the egg shape is at the bottom, that is, where the feet are. The aura consists of the radiations in brilliant color from the various centers of the body to other centers of the body. The old Chinese used to say that one picture is worth 1,000 words. So to save a few thousand words, we will insert here in this lesson a sketch of a person standing full face and side view. And on these sketches, we will indicate the lines of force of the aura to and from various centers and the general outline of the egg shape. We must make it clear also that the aura really does exist, even if you cannot see it for the moment. As you will appreciate, you cannot see the air which you breathe, and we doubt if a fish can see the water in which it swims. The aura, then, is a real vital force. It exists, even though most untrained people cannot see it. It is possible to see an aura by using various equipment. There are, for example, various types of goggles which can be used over the eyes, but all the information which we have been able to gather on the subject indicates that these goggles are extremely injurious to the sight. They try the eyes, they force the eyes to act in an unnatural manner, and we cannot recommend for one moment goggles purporting to enable one to see the aura, nor those various screens consisting of two sheets of glass, with a watertight space between, which one fills with a special and usually highly expensive dye. We can only suggest that you practice and practice, and then with a little faith and a little help, you should be able to see it. The biggest difficulty in seeing the aura is that most people do not believe that they can see it. The aura, as we have stated, is of various colors, but we would point out that what we refer to as colors is merely a special part of the spectrum. In other words, although we use the word color, we could just as well quote the frequency of that wave, which we call red or blue. Red, by the way, is one of the easiest colors to see. Blue is not so easy. There are some people who cannot see blue. There are others who cannot see red. If you are in the presence of a person who can see the aura, by the way, be careful not to say something which is untrue, because if you do tell an untruth, the aura seer will betray you. Normally, a person has a halo, which is either bluish or a yellowish color. If a lie is told, then a greenish yellow shoots through the halo. It is a difficult color to explain, but once seen, the color is never forgotten. So, to tell a lie is to betray oneself immediately by the greenish-yellow flare which shoots through the halo, which is at the top of the aura. One can say that the aura extends basically up to the eyes, and then you get a radiant layer of yellow or blue, which is the halo or nimbus. Then, at the very top part of the aura, you get a sort of fountain of light, which in the East is known as the flowering lotus, because it does actually look like that. It is an interchange of colors, and to the imaginative, it reminds one irresistibly of the opening of the seven-petal lotus. The greater one's spirituality, the more saffron yellow is the nimbus or halo. If a person has dubious thoughts, then that particular portion of the aura turns an unpleasant muddy brown, fringed by this bile-colored yellowish-green, which betokens falsehoods. We are of the belief that more people see auras than seems apparent. We believe that many people see or sense the aura and do not know what they are seeing. It is quite a common thing for a person to say that she must have this or that color. She cannot wear such and such a color, because instinctively she thinks that it would clash with her aura. You may have noticed a person who wears clothing which is quite utterly impossible, according to your own estimation. You may not see the aura, but you, being possibly more perceptive than your unsuitably clad friend, will know that such colors clash completely with her aura. Many people, then, sense, experience, or are aware of the human aura, but because from early childhood they have been taught that it is nonsense to see this or nonsense to see that, they have hypnotized themselves into believing that they could not possibly see such a thing. It is also a fact that one can influence one's health by wearing clothing of certain colors. If you wear a color which clashes with your aura, then you will undoubtedly be ill at ease or self-conscious. You may even be indisposed until you take that unsuitable color off. You may find that a particular color in a room irritates you or soothes you. Colors, after all, are merely different names for vibrations. Red is one vibration, green is another vibration, and black is yet another. Just as the vibration, which we call sound, can clash and make disharmony, so can soundless vibrations, which we call colors, clash and make a spiritual disharmony. End of lesson 4.